Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Protests erupted overnight in the West Bank after the killing of a top Hamas leader in Lebanon. The fallout from BBC correspondent Yolan Nell in Jerusalem.
We've had threats being made by Hezbollah, which is, of course, the powerful Lebanese armed group, saying that this will not go without a response or without a punishment. So the Israeli military has been responding to this by putting reinforcements of its air defense systems up in the north of the country.
The attack has again raised fears that the fighting could expand beyond Israel and Gaza. Former President Trump's appealing the decision in Maine, removing him from the presidential primary ballot. CBS News campaign reporter Katrina Kaufman.
In his complaint, Trump argued that the Secretary of State, who was a Democrat, is a quote-unquote biased decision maker. He said she should have recused herself.
A court rules Texas is not required to provide emergency abortions. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
A three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court unanimously ruling that the U.S. government cannot enforce federal guidance in Texas requiring emergency room doctors to perform abortions if necessary to stabilize patients. Texas filed suit arguing the guidance was a nationwide mandate. The Fifth Circuit agreeing, ruling that the federal law does not mandate medical treatments, let alone abortion care, nor does it preempt Texas law. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Following weeks of pressure to step down over her handling of anti-Semitism on campus, the president of Harvard resigned yesterday. Reaction to Claudine Gay's decision from Harvard government professor Ryan Enos.
I'm saddened for Harvard and for higher education in the United States because this is higher education being attacked by mob rule. I think it's something that we should be very wary of.
Dual investigations into the crash between two planes at Tokyo's Haneda Airport yesterday. Five people died. Transport safety officials are looking into the communication between air traffic controllers and the two aircraft to determine what led to the collision. Police are investigating possible negligence. A 30-year-old man is dead after climbing into a plane engine at the Salt Lake City Airport. Kyler Effinger ran out into the terminal, through the emergency exit, onto the runway, and crawled under the plane. Mark Light is a former airplane mechanic and says it's surprising he even got on the tarmac.
All of the people that are out there, the baggage handlers, the ground crew, are fairly well trained on what they can do, where they can be, where they can't be kind of thing.
The plane's engines were rotating at the time. First responders tried to save him. He died at the scene. It is still unclear why he did it. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that election clerks can accept absentee ballots that are missing part of a witness's address. The judge ruled that so long as the clerks can discern how to reach the witness from available information, those ballots are acceptable. In 2022, a Waukesha County judge ruled that clerks are no longer allowed to fill in missing witness information. Tuesday's ruling provides uniform rules for how clerks should handle those absentee ballots, says the group that brought the lawsuit. After three consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. I'm Nate Muggyhout, Civic Media News.
Badgers beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers with a conference win over Iowa, 83-72 at the Kohl Center. Max Klesmit on how valuable Kamari McGee was as a substitute in the game.
Having a guy like that can come off the bench and spark it, life into us, I think carried over the second half big time. And, you know, that's a credit to Cam and just how much he works, keeps his head down, doesn't let the naysayers, you know, get to him or what other the outside noise says. He's really focused individual, and I'm super proud of him, the way he's handled himself.
The Badgers have now won three in a row, head coach Greg Gard.
And that's the neat part about watching a team come together. As a coach, you can't orchestrate everything. A lot of that chemistry has to be organic. This group has got some good things going.
NFL former Packers center Ken Bowman has died. Bowman played 10 seasons for Green Bay from 1964 to 1973, including three NFL championships. Bowman snapped the ball to Bart Starr on his quarterback sneak to win the Ice Bowl. Kenny Bowman was 81. For sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be a cloudy day today with a few scattered light snow showers or flurries by about midday into the afternoon. Our high right around 35, the wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 23. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 31 on Friday. Cloudy, high of 36. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, January 3rd. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, or through our social media video feeds. And if you're listening on demand by podcast, thank you for subscribing and taking us along on your day. We'd love to have you join us at some point. Tell us what's on your mind, what questions in the news we can address for you. Our studio line is 844-967-2789. Again, that's 844-967-2789. You can call that number. You can text that number as well. You can also do so from the Civic Media app, which I understand had some hiccups yesterday, but appears to be rocking and rolling today. So feel free to make use of that or use your email machine to come find us. Radio@upnorthnewswi.com is the email address. And if you're watching on one of the Facebook pages for Civic Media or Up North News or Bull Falls Radio or 93.5 The Tap here in Chippewa Falls, put a message on that live video feed. And if we see it, we will pass it along and maybe address it as well. Here's what we've got coming up this morning, a couple of things to chat about. Several of them related to election ballots in one way or another. Who's on the ballot, filling out an absentee ballot is going to be on there as well. As far as who's on the ballot, a Wisconsin committee met yesterday to decide which candidates are qualified to appear on the April ballot for Wisconsin's presidential primary. And we'll get into whether Donald Trump's name belongs on the ballot or not. And then later we will talk to Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin about new guidance from a court on absentee ballots and whether every field on that envelope needs to be filled in meticulously or else you stick the thing in the shredder, or if there's some kind of a grace period or some wiggle room on getting the information correct enough to know who the voter is when they fill out that ballot. Then in our second hour, we have a live conversation with Jill Underley, the state superintendent of public instruction. We'll talk about the challenges that schools are facing in Wisconsin and the ways that educators are working to keep students and achievement all at a high level. So we have a lot of ground to cover here this morning on this Wednesday, where temperatures are up a bit from yesterday, though I understand there may finally be some snow in the long-term forecast. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour to tell us more about that. But I can tell you that the 6 o'clock temperatures around Wisconsin look like this here on Lake Wissota, 32 degrees right now. Hayward's at 30, Park Falls 28, Wausau 28 degrees as well. Over in Green Bay, it's 31. La Crosse, you're at 33. Wisconsin Rapids is at 31, as is Oshkosh, as is Madison. And Waukesha is at 30 degrees, and Waukesha is where we find Greg Bach standing by, back from his break.
Hello, buddy. Everybody.
How you doing?
I'm peachy darn keen, Pat.
You are, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Our schedules were not properly aligned, that you were off the day before my long break, and then yesterday the day back from my long break, but then you had a break somewhere in that as well, and then we've all had a break down from time to time, but we didn't break up, you know.
No.
So we're right here ready to break things on behalf of Civic Media. How were your holidays?
Holidays were really good, you know. They're the busy, you know. Christmas, you think, is the first time I'd had like Saturday, Sunday, and then I had Monday and Tuesday off, but it was Saturday, we're going here, Sunday, we're doing this, Monday, we're doing this, and then Tuesday, on the day after Christmas, I just passed out on my couch, and then I worked New Year's Eve weekend, so that was just, you know, there was no relaxing.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah. So, what, Tuesday was your only day of being a sloth?
Yeah, I mean, Monday was pretty slothy, too. Yesterday was running errands, which I enjoy. But Monday was pretty slothy. So I enjoyed those 2 days of rest and relaxation.
Good. Good.
How about you? That.
Well, again, 2 weeks off with kids and grandkids is just a, you know, just a delight. And it wasn't 2 full weeks together. It was about 3-4 days with the younger daughter. And then their kids are 1 and 4.
Okay.
And then the older daughter joined us, and her boys are 9 and 17.
Okay.
But then the younger daughter, you know, then left early after that overlap. And so then we got a couple of days just with our older daughter and her boys. And so all three of those phases, each individually, were just dreamy.
Yeah.
Along with just Sherry and I being able to just travel, just the two of us, you know, to bookend the whole thing. So, I mean, I probably felt like I gushed a lot yesterday. I'm still gushing. I could not have been luckier to have planned out such a nice holiday break. And that, you know, not every year is like that. This was special.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad we got a chance to get away.
Good. Well, I'm glad you look well rested and tan and
yes, cool. It was nice. Well, we did a little bit of the, you know, electric type of tanning before this trip. And Sherry said yesterday, so are you going to tan this week? I'm like, oh, no, I still, you know, our running joke is that I get a tan when I'm cleaning the garage in March. You know, it's just I tan very, very easily.
Yeah.
But it, you know, at some point I will again resemble the wall behind me, and like a chameleon, I will blend in. But for right now, this works. I think a little sun agrees with me.
I like it.
The little sun agrees with us all, because then you have those other days where it's just that's so cloudy and gray, and just you want to be in a good mood, but the clouds say nay, nay.
The weather's like, no, you shall be sad.
You shall be blah today. Did you make any significant resolutions? And I will admit that mine are, as I've said, is just about getting back onto the exercise treadmill here. But beyond that, not too much. How about you?
I don't really go for New Year's resolutions. I try to just ask myself, what do I want to do in the entirety of the new year? And yeah, part of that is the health, eat a little better, you know, now that we have the dog, being able to go on some good walks.
Oh, yeah.
But not really like, all right, as of January 1, I'm going to go run for 2 miles a day, because that would not happen.
No, you just like... Like Kristen Lyerly was saying yesterday, give yourself some grace. You know, you set yourself up for failure. One New Year's tradition I did not engage in this year, and it wasn't something necessarily intentional over the years, but it just kind of became a tradition that New Year's Day, normally I'm just sitting around the house, and I go through and I clean out thousands of emails.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to be like email purge day.
Oh, that's
I have not done that because honestly, it got too overwhelming this year. And I'm actually hearing people talk about, you know, that they're just like deleting their entire account and starting from scratch. And I don't want to do that.
No,
I don't want to get that
seems
crazy.
Extreme.
I just feel like, well, I'm just not going to get as bothered as that little number. It becomes a big number on that red dot, you know, on your phone or on your computer screen. Though I will say I did. And in my case, I've got nothing but Macs here. And so I ran a thing. I think it's Clean My Mac. I also have Daisy Disk, but I ran one of those. And I freed up 20 gigabytes of hard disk space.
Holy cow.
Well, throughout the day, I'm always downloading. I'm doing either screen captures or downloads of videos, you know, making videos. And yeah, so that was nice to have that done. So it wasn't the email maintenance, but it was still some computer maintenance. And that's disk space I will gladly take.
You know? Yeah, I get that. I totally get that too. And don't let the number get above 10,000 on your emails.
I got some news for you. I'm gonna go over to the screen and go look right now here. See if I can see what it is. I'm telling the truth here. I'm looking at this number right now. This is on my this is what all the press releases and everything comes into.
Yeah.
27,614. Oh, I'm not even kidding.
If I have 5 new emails, like I'm like, this is too much.
I get 50 at a time on my screen.
Yeah.
And like before noon in the late morning, I'll go back and look for something that came at 7 a.m. And it's already on the next screen. So it's already literally out of sight, out of mind.
Pat's popular.
Again, press releases. So it's basically like getting rid of your mailbox because you're so sick of the junk mail. And there's days you wish you could do that, but you need the important things that come in. Yeah. And so you just have to work that much harder to figure it out. And really, it's not about deleting the ones. I got to get off some of these lists.
Oh, that's me really too. I try every week to like unsubscribe to 5.
Mm-hmm. I love you, La Crosse County, but I don't need every note of every county board committee meeting and that the snowplows went out. And, you know, other people do need that info, you know, if you're depending on where you are. But
you heard it here first. Pat Kreitlow hates La Crosse County.
No.
How can you vote for a man who hates La Crosse, which is French for the cross?
I have such a soft spot for county boards. It's how I cut my teeth as a reporter. Okay. Was covering the Eau Claire County Board and the Chippewa County Board. And I don't think I told you this story about my journalism professor, Henry Lippold. I was just crestfallen as a college student that I wasn't given one of the, what I thought were the plum assignments, you know, Eau Claire City Council or County Board. I was given the Solid Waste Committee. And of the county board, it's like, oh, and anybody who knows Henry knows, it goes like this. Oh, Mr. Kreitlow, no, you don't understand. Solid Waste Committee is where the action is. And it turned out he was absolutely right. There was a very contentious thing with the landfill, and it would eventually, the county would sell it, but not without groundwater concerns and privatization concerns. And it's where I really, as a rookie reporter, learned to appreciate all the glory, all the attention goes to the president and Congress, but the things your county board does, things your school board, the things your state legislature does, absolutely, those things are huge. And what we're trying to do now is instead of just ignoring those things, like the news consultants are all like, oh, that's boring. And I think, no, these are important, but let's try to make them conversational and understandable. So it starts there. It starts by saying, that's a lot of email. But I know that what you're doing is important. Don't listen to Greg Bach, La Crosse County Board. I love you. I love you. And when we come back, we'll talk about news that doesn't involve the La Crosse County Board, because frankly, I don't have any news from them. But other things have been going on in the world, and we'll chat more in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, and we'll be back.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is the Shaw WAUK.
Again, we've got State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underle joining us at the top of our next hour as part of our weekly homeroom segment, talking about education issues all across Wisconsin. Also, Deborah Kronmiller from the League of Women Voters will be talking about ballot access in Wisconsin. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot with the forecast. And then coming up in just about 10 minutes or so, we'll have Melissa Baldoff here with our weekly climate check report. And we'll be talking a bit about technology and climate change and ways to make our electric grid better able to connect to clean energy sources. So we'll have that discussion coming up in just a few moments. The Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team, 21st ranked in the country. They beat Iowa last night, 83-72 in Madison for their third straight victory. Wisconsin is now 2-0 in the Big Ten. They are 10-3 overall, and they will host Nebraska on Saturday. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Indiana tonight to play the Pacers. You can catch that game on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country up in Park Falls. Hey, Courier Newsroom has, by the way, Courier Newsroom, that's the parent company of Up North News. Courier Newsroom has several newsletters that you might be interested in reading, many of them from friends that join us right here on the radio show. Mark Jacob has Stop the Presses. That's a weekly newsletter about how right-wing extremism has exploited the weaknesses in American journalism and what can be done about it. Kia Vakil, another one of our Friday guests, puts together a bi-weekly newsletter called Frontlines. Carolyn Fiddler has a must-read action, a must-read newsletter on the latest insider news from state capitals across the country called State House Action. Kyle Tharp has For What It's Worth, a weekly newspaper that breaks down digital spending, strategy, tactics, and trends in election campaigns. And Control-Alt-Right-Delete is a weekly newsletter by Melissa Ryan, devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And you can sign up for all of these newsletters by, again, heading to our parent company's website, couriernewsroom.com. Again, that's Courier, C-O-U-R-I-E-R, couriernewsroom.com. All right, a committee in Wisconsin that puts together presidential primary ballots met yesterday and made the decision as to, you know, who is going to be on the ballot and who is not. And that decision has been made to put Donald Trump on the ballot for the April primary election. As you know, there has been controversy and decisions made in other states, the Colorado Supreme Court, the Maine Secretary of State, for example, that in those cases, Donald Trump is not eligible for the ballot in those states. Now, he is still there pending appeals, and there are going to be appeals in both of those states. But the issue, of course, is whether Donald Trump is an insurrectionist. Did he work to overturn an American election and undermine or even overthrow the government, and as a result is not eligible to run for president? It's a crisis we have not had to face in this country since the Civil War, because we've never had a president try to overthrow the government that he was being kicked out of before. And so you have some people making very principled stands, but again, the rule of law says that this has to be given a chance to appeal and work its way through the courts. And so at some point, the U.S. Supreme Court, dominated by conservatives, will make a ruling on this. But this is a process that we have to let unfold. In Wisconsin, the process unfolds like this. There is a committee that meets on behalf of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and then the Wisconsin Elections Commission will review what that committee did. And that committee yesterday said that Trump and President Biden and five other Republican candidates have qualified to be on Wisconsin's April 2nd presidential primary ballot. And that was, again, done by the state's bipartisan Presidential Preference Selection Committee. The Republicans chosen for the ballot are Trump, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Trump's former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, biotech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, and former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. The committee is comprised of leaders from both parties, and they approved the slate of candidates without debate in a meeting that only lasted for about 5 minutes or so. Again, there has been discussion elsewhere about barring Trump from the ballot. And you may have missed last week while we are off that Kirk Bangstad from the Minocqua Brewing Company filed a complaint with the Wisconsin Elections Commission arguing that Trump should be disqualified on the grounds of fomenting an insurrection. The Elections Commission dismissed the complaint because it was filed directly against the members of the Elections Commission. Bangstad has said that he plans to file a lawsuit in circuit court, which again would be the next logical step, is that you start with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Now, as I said yesterday, in case you missed it, the Elections Commission, which is comprised of three Democrats and three Republicans, they agreed to, well, they basically dismissed the complaint without any debate whatsoever. And they also agreed not to take any action against the fake Trump electors. And as I noted yesterday, there are two of the Democratic members of the commission are attorneys, very, very gifted attorneys, very active Democrats, Mark Thompson and Ann Jacobs, who are passionate about the rule of law. And that while I disagree with their decisions, I know them well enough that I would respect them and abide by them. They are always welcome to, you know, discuss these further if they like. But that obviously, I look at it as a case of Trump did indeed take actions that any state elections official, a secretary of state, an elections commission, whatever the case may be, would find grounds, ample grounds. You see it in the testimony given to the January 6th committee in Congress, in the many criminal proceedings that are currently going on against the former president. There are certainly grounds there. But the battle, if people say, is that the hill you want to die on? The hill that I would want to die on is not necessarily about ballot access. It's one of those where I'd say, well, if it were me, I think he certainly qualifies as an insurrectionist under the 14th Amendment. But in the end, if he's on the ballot, then it's not a fight against Trump. It's a fight for the hearts and minds of our neighbors, who some of whom still support Trump, some of whom still support Trump passionately. And that just might be a lost cause. That's a failure of civics. That's a failure of media. That's a failure on an astounding level in America, in my view. But there are people who have leaned toward Trump over the years, who are dissatisfied with, you know, the system in American politics. And I understand the frustrations. I always have. Before I got into politics, and now on the backside, now that I'm not in elected politics anymore, I understand the frustration that comes with the system. But the answer has never been to blow up the system. The answer has been to elect good people, service-minded people who can work toward making all Americans feel more inclusive, making all Americans feel like somebody's looking out for them. We'll talk more about this in the days and weeks ahead, but Melissa Baldoff joins us next with our climate check here up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A senior Hamas leader was killed in Beirut. Lebanese officials blame Israel. CBS's Jared Hill.
In Lebanon, Hezbollah leaders have threatened a severe reaction, while Lebanese officials say the strike violates their sovereignty.
The former president's appealing a ruling to take him off the primary ballot in Maine. Campaign reporter Katrina Kaufman.
Last week, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows disqualified Trump from Maine's ballot for engaging in an insurrection. Bellows had paused her decision to give Trump an opportunity to appeal. The case will now go before Maine's Superior Court.
A 30-year-old man died after running on the tarmac at the Salt Lake City airport and climbing into a plane engine. Passengers are shocked.
Surprised that somebody made it that far.
Seems like especially surprising to get on the airside of an airport on your own.
The aircraft's engines were rotating at the time he died at the scene. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The names of six Republicans and one Democrat will appear on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballots for now. That list includes Donald Trump and President Biden. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee met Tuesday morning. Candidates who want to be taken off the list have until the 30th to say so. Candidates who want to be added will have to collect signatures to qualify. Wisconsin's primary is April 2nd. New higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increase last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. When combined with the state's 5% sales tax, consumers in Milwaukee are paying a 7.9% sales tax, and in the rest of Milwaukee County, it's 5.9%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
It is going to be a cloudy day today with a few scattered light snow showers or flurries by about midday into the afternoon. Our high right around 35, the wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 23. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 31 on Friday. Cloudy, high of 36. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
It's electric!
All right, we're back for another segment. We're back for another year. Coming off a year that was, you know, the warmest ever measured, so long as we've been measuring these things here on planet Earth. So with that in mind, let's talk about our weekly climate check report. Melissa Baldoff joins us now. Melissa, happy new year. Did you have a good holiday break?
Thank you. I did have a wonderful holiday break, although one where I was both grateful and frustrated, grateful for and frustrated by the lack of snow. grateful for it when we traveled to the Twin Cities to visit family. It was really nice to have clear roads and no concerns about getting to and from. But frustrating because, like, you know, we always like to get outside and enjoy some winter fun, you know, do a little sledding. My son and his best buddy, who is our neighbor, they've had a tradition the past number of years that they like to go out at midnight and do snow angels on New Year's Eve. They couldn't do that, obviously.
Nope.
So, you know, it's a little bit of a bummer that we don't have any snow on the ground here.
Now, obviously, that's going to change at some point. But, you know, then again, we can get into the whole weather versus climate situation here. But, you know, in terms of the climate and what we're looking at long term, you know, any given weather extremes brings that to the forefront, whether it's, you know, a brown Christmas or unusually large flash flooding, things like that. And in the case of Wisconsin, we have known that Wisconsin is one of the states that will not be, where humans won't be as directly involved as, say, you know, living on the coasts or, you know, some islands or, you know, places in the tropics and places in the Arctic and what have you. Humans may not be affected, but, you know, as we learn more about what is the impact of a changing climate, we're learning that there are non-human factors in Wisconsin that could still pack a real wallop, right?
Yes, absolutely. This is a topic that I think has been coming up more and more lately. And, you know, quite a spotlight was put on this topic recently in an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that discussed a report about the loss of biodiversity in the Great Lakes region was one of those that is very important. And Wisconsin is one of the highest risk states for loss of biodiversity in the region. And, you know, compared to the rest of the country, Wisconsin is, you know, like just outside of the top 10. So that's, you know, that's pretty significant. And I think it raises a lot of questions. And I think one of the first ones might be, you know, like, what is biodiversity?
I was just going to go there because essentially I think maybe the analogy, maybe it's not, you know, perfect, but think of it as dominoes, that maybe the climate doesn't directly impact humans here as much as others, but there will be an impact if you're addressing things like birds, animals, plants, even microbes, you know, in Wisconsin, all of these things do have an impact. You know what, Melissa, we actually talked about this with wetlands all the time. Remember how people were trying to weaken wetlands protection because they were like, oh, you can't float a boat in it. But we know wetlands are extremely important to the climate and of course, eventually to human health.
Exactly. You know, I think that's just one of those ideas that, you know, when you stop and think about it, everyone understands, but sometimes it gets kind of lost in the shuffle or just when you're thinking about other big things. But all the kinds of life in an area, you know, there's an interconnection. So if the water is unhealthy, then the animals drinking it, including humans, aren't going to be healthy. If we don't have, you know, plants and green spaces that are, you know, conducive to animals being able to have a healthy population, you know, that's going to be a problem for everybody. So, you know, it's just this idea that everything is connected. And even if the impact, like you said, to humans might not be, you know, a devastating one, at least at first, there will be that ripple effect later on if other species are struggling right. to survive, or if they're lost entirely.
Yeah, one that has come up in the past is that as summers get warmer and longer, it will facilitate the growth in the population of ticks that can carry Lyme disease, for example. Or another one would be pollinators. Again, if you don't have those pollinators, that's going to hurt Wisconsin crops in a big way. And that's all about our food supply. There's just so much that is connected. And yeah, it's got this big fancy word, biodiversity. And trust me, there's some people who really don't like the word diversity these days. And
that is true.
Biodiversity is extremely important.
Exactly. And then, you know, it also relates to another topic we chatted about recently, which is our outdoor tourism and recreation industries in Wisconsin. Those really rely on biodiversity, you know, fishing and hunting, any of those outdoor activities that people are enjoying rely on biodiversity.
Now, to pivot here to a different topic, and the pivot comes this way through the political world that you and I are used to inhabiting. And we've already talked about how when it comes to, say, wetlands, there are people who don't appreciate the need to protect our wetlands. And in their zest to kill what they think are, you know, regulations and bureaucracy, they do damage. Well, this takes us to a new topic, and it's about water cybersecurity and the cyber attacks on water authorities around the country. And we know how we've seen other institutions in Wisconsin that have faced ransomware and things like that. So you can imagine my surprise and also my anger, Melissa, when you shared an article with me from Axios that talked about how the EPA has been trying to fight cyber attacks against the water supply, but basically Republican attorneys general around the country have been fighting this effort and making it harder for the EPA to protect our water supply from cyber attacks.
Right. It's just one of those things that you just can't really wrap your brain around why anyone would be opposed to this. The U.S. water system is made up of around 150,000 individual systems, and the vast majority of those, 93%, according to American Water Works Association, 93% of those systems serve fewer than 3,000 people. So this is, you know, a very difficult system to, you know, to regulate, but it's so important to have some base level, you know, requirements for these systems, you know. And most of them are municipally run entities. They are, you know, short as always on funds. Money is always tight. These are systems that are legacy systems that have been into place for a very long time. So you see that it's going to be a challenge for municipal governments that are strapped for cash to be able to upgrade those. And I mean, we see that with other complicated government run government systems of technology. That was something we saw with, you know, say the unemployment system in Wisconsin and many other states.
Right.
The technology and the infrastructure is very, very old, and it's been around for a long time, and it's very expensive to upgrade it and have those digital security measures in place, which is all the more reason why we need the federal government to be able to step up and say, hey, states, there's got to be, you know, a bare minimum, a baseline of what needs to happen to protect our water system and to protect our utilities, because, you know, we are clearly vulnerable to attacks in this area.
Right. And what we get is we get the pushback from the industry saying, well, we are, like you just said, a whole bunch of small players. Well, that's fine. You can have the federal government and or state governments, you know, try to help assist with the funding, but with the funding would have to have, like you said, some base level of requirements. You know, you can't just say you're putting in an anti-hacking system. You know, it should measure up to certain standards. And what we often hear from folks on the, you know, Republican side of the aisle is, well, that's just micromanagement, you know, from the federal government to the state government. But Melissa, I know it's a debate as old as the Republic itself. But if you leave things just up to voluntary compliance from any given industry, you're going to have some folks are going to be responsible. Others are going to do the least amount possible. They're going to take the money and run.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that it's really important to have those solutions in place, and to think about, you know, that, and we've talked about this before with the whole conversation around climate change, in general, is that cost benefit analysis of what is the cost of doing nothing, or what is the cost of doing the bare minimum. And the cost of doing nothing and leaving a system vulnerable to attack is something where there is certainly the cost of having to fix it, that real, you know, financial cost, that fiscal cost. And, you know, what we've seen so far with some of these attacks, you know, that there actually hasn't been any harm done to the water, you know, to the actual, you know, the impact of the water supply has not. There's not been an impact on the water supply, but there is always that worry and that threat of the real cost of, you know, human health and life if we aren't doing anything.
Right. And so, again, at both the state and federal levels, we'll be looking to, you know, see if there's that right blend of carrots and sticks, because again, without that, with people just clinging to, you know, one extreme or the other in this debate, things aren't going to get done. And, you know, we risk a great peril if that comes. Now, we're going to run out of time on this week, but I definitely want to come back to something else that you had pointed out. And that is the backlog in our electric grid to connect clean energy, you know, because of the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law. There are all these incentives to create more clean energy systems, but there is, you know, there's a real backlog to getting connected to the grid. Some of it, probably a lot of it real, but I also wouldn't be surprised if money is a factor in some of these players. So I wanted to just tease that because I think it's something we can look at down the road, maybe even get some, you know, Wisconsin specific information, because it's one thing to create these opportunities. It's another to find obstacles, whether it's in the industry, the regulation, or what have you. I find that really fascinating because, you know, innovation only takes you so far if there are people, groups, or rules standing in the way.
That's so true. And, you know, I do think, like you said, this is going to be an issue that is ongoing, a really important topic. And, you know, the Biden administration, they set a goal of decarbonizing the grid by 2035. And a lot has to happen to get that done. You know, it is going to require a four times increase in the amount of solar and wind that we are currently generating right now. It's going to be an additional 40 to 90 gigawatts of solar and 70 to 150 gigawatts of wind every year until then to get it done. So, you know, there's a lot that has to happen to meet those goals. And, you know, I think that we're going to continue to talk about the grid and how we are, you know, increasing that interconnectivity. Yeah, get some of these projects done.
And again, you don't, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You didn't get an entire interstate highway system built in a day. So these are things that have to get done over time, but you still have to be making progress along the way. So much more for us to follow as we do each week in our Climate Check Report with Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, thank you so much. Have a great start to the new year. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We'll be back. You're up north.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new, or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue, or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I'm walking, hear the name, I'm talking. When you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me.
That, of course, would be Fats Domino. He recorded that I'm walking on this day in 1957. Melissa Kay is here from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year. I'm good. Good morning. How are you guys?
Great, great. How was your holiday break?
Restful.
Good.
Tried to do nothing.
Yes. I'm all in favor of that. I mean, not on the job. I'm saying when you're off duty, you know,
right.
a lot of nothing. So good on you. Any trips, little road trips, anything like that, or a lot of time at home?
No, I literally stayed home. I finished my blanket.
Oh, look at this, Greg. Yeah.
Dang, that's a blanket.
That's a blanket.
That looks comfy and warm.
Yes.
It's my lap blanket for work. Keeps me warm and snug.
That's really cool. God, to have actual skills. Well, okay, first off, you can crochet. But again, the category is, not all heroes wear capes or crocheted or otherwise. I changed out some light switches around the house. Thank you.
Well done, please.
Keep the applause down here.
But well done.
Hold on.
Look at this. Thank you. The actual applause is that you see this. All 10 fingers are still here. I did not pull off any of them.
And
I
your hair's not standing straight out on it.
Did not burn down the house. I did find out at one point, because it was one of those where it's controlled by two different switches, and I flipped the one switch and then I flipped the other switch and nothing happened. So I realized I connected the wrong wire in one ear. So I had to take it off and put it back on again. But it turns out it doesn't burn the house down. Yes.
You were troubleshooting too, Pat?
I know. Who knew the entire Nobel committee was here listening to the show? I'll be in Oslo later to accept that prize. So I've got that going for me. So you crocheted. I changed light switches, you know. And
you know, it was a great weekend.
It was. Yes, we all got things done. What is happening in the world of Wisconsin Rapids Radio over at Locally
Just
Grown?
So many sports.
Yeah.
Badger men's basketball, the Greg Gard Show. We you know, air all of our local high school sports games. So the boys basketball games, the girls basketball games, and then hockey. We've got River Kings hockey on our stations. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So
lots of sports. I'm not a sports person. So, you know,
I just like how you said, sports. We've got the sports, we've got the, you know, the baseball or whatever is there.
We've
so
got the ping pong.
It's all there. So
excuse me. It's called table tennis. Thank you.
Sorry.
Listen to the elitist over here. So getting back to today's history lesson and music break, happy 79th birthday to Stephen Stills.
Oh, wow.
You remember this little thing that he put together.
Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
He was born in Buffalo, Springfield before forming Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. J.R.R. Tolkien, the English writer, poet, known for Lord of the Rings, of course, was born this day in 1892. Were you a Lord of the Rings reader?
I loved reading The Hobbit. I did not get into reading The Lord of the Rings, but I enjoyed the movies.
Hey, I have a question really quick. Do you think that J.R.R. Tolkien called the first draft of The Lord of the Rings the prototype.
Prototype.
Nice, can't believe you didn't. Nice. Can't believe you didn't play the wild applause for yourself on that one.
Oh, I know my audience, but Pat, I know my audience. They are unhappy right now.
On this day in 1521, Pope Leo X excommunicated Martin Luther. I guess
petty.
Worked out all right for both of them, I guess. The fifth Beatle, Sir George Martin, was born this day in 1926. He passed away in 2016, but just a most amazing producer, arranger, composer, conductor. I mean, the Beatles would not be what they were. They were geniuses, but what he did with that was just extraordinary.
Took it to the next level.
They had the raw talent. He polished the stone.
Yes, and did
you need
ever.
Those stone polishers?
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. We mentioned that Stephen Stills is 79. John Paul Jones is 78. The bassist for Led Zeppelin. He was born John Richard Baldwin, and he's worked with many other influential bands over the years. This one's going to make it. There's always one birthday that makes you feel older. Do you remember the Wonder Years?
Pat.
You ever watch the Wonder Years? Pat. Remember Winnie Cooper?
Pat.
What?
Do I remember Winnie Cooper? I was...
Hey, settle down.
They were like this.
Yeah.
Now he wishes.
She's 3 years older than me. I crushed on her the moment I saw her on screen. Do I remember?
Winnie Cooper is 49 today.
Ooh.
Let's quickly move on from there. Also 49 today is Thomas Bangalter, the one half of Daft Punk.
Love that group.
Eli Manning is 43 years old today. Alaska was admitted as the 49th state on this day in 1959. And let's see, the Arsenio Hall Show debuted on this day in 1989. And Arsenio had a really good run. Obviously, there needed to be an alternative to Johnny Carson. Then Johnny Carson retired and you had, the whole Leno Letterman thing, and Arsenio was kind of the odd man out. I'm still a little surprised. I really thought Arsenio's show would last a little longer. I wasn't a regular viewer, but it definitely had such a huge influence on late night back at that point.
And Bill Clinton elected.
Sure did. And Melissa, I know you weren't much of a TV watcher when you were younger. When you did you have like a preference in, were you a Leno or a Letterman or an Arsenio?
I guess
person?
If I had to pick Letterman.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Not that I watched it much, but that's the one I remember better.
Sure. BJ Thomas had the number one song this day in 1970.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed.
And as long as we're doing songs from the
70s. Are you looking for flies over there, Greg?
I'm looking for raindrops, Glenn.
Very interpretive, looking for raindrops dance. Wait till you see. Now for this next one, he's going to put on roller skates with the pom-poms on it, because that's what everybody was wearing when the Bay City Rollers had a number one song this day in 1976.
Expect me to do so much here.
That's right, this isn't all skates. I'm telling you.
You guys got to watch the Facebook feed. Because
if you ever get a chance, you should be listening to your favorite Civic Media radio station. But do feel free to chime in now, check in now and then on that video feed, as Greg provides an interpretive retelling of every song that comes on. Also, the Dave Matthews Band became the first major artist to release a song on Napster when they put the song I Did It on the controversial file sharing platform. Melissa, so glad you had a great holiday break, and Happy New Year to you. And look forward to many more Wednesday visits throughout a very fun new year.
We'll try to make them consistent this year.
We will get that done. All right. Thank you so much, Melissa. Have a great day. And when we
you
come
too,
back,
guys.
State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley, right?
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.